Welcome to the Declaration Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Mark Cornelson. For more information about Declaration Church and other resources, visit declaration.org.
My name is Mark Cornelison, and it's my privilege to get to come and share with you guys this morning. And John and Kelly are out this week. They are taking some much needed time, and so I would hope that you guys would pray for John and all that he does, and so many things that most of us don't see. We don't know the battles he faces, and to be able to take some time and say, hey, I'm going to actually head out for a Sunday and to trust all of us to make sure things keep going, that's a big deal. So as you think about it this week, pray for them, pray for just a great time of rest. We had one of our team members this morning prayed that the internet would not work wherever they are, so you can pray for that, because I would imagine that we could get a text from John and then I would say something ugly to him for being on the internet. But just pray for him. It's so important to cover our leaders, and they do a lot of great stuff. So, but a part of this is that means that I get to share with you guys and wrap up this series that we've been in for the last 6 or 7 weeks called Dream Again. And one thing that I've loved about how this series has gone is that we're not just talking about dreaming for Declaration Church. Now, that's a great thing, and we've talked about, hey, what would it look like to, in the next year or two or whatever God wants to do, having our own building and having land and having a ministry center and all those kind of, and that's awesome. That's really, really good. But we can get so focused on those kind of things that we leave out something that I think a lot of churches do. And what we've tried to do over this season is to say, hey, this is something we'd be excited about for our church, but what about you? What is something that you are dreaming about? What is something that maybe has been a dream that you had a while back and it's just kind of been pushed to the side as life and family and all, I mean, everything, that all these really good things start happening, but to be able to go, okay, God, how could I impact your kingdom? What dreams, how can I do things now in this place? And then even what's beyond. And I just think that's so healthy for us as a church to challenge each other to go, hey, let's dream, right? Because if most of us get comfortable and set in things and we don't encourage ourselves to keep looking at what might God do next, then we can do an entire life of stuff that's really not bad stuff, but we maybe miss some really cool things that God has in store for us. And so that's where a lot of this has been. You guys got cards, some of you that have been here over the last few weeks. I have to confess, John asked me to preach and I had to go listen to some podcasts, because Kathy and I have been in and out of town. I was like, you really want the guy who hadn't been there very much to preach? And he was like, yeah, I'm going out of town. I don't care what you do. So that was kind of his deal. He literally said to me, we had breakfast this last week, and John said, I'm just going to ask you to clean up the Dream Again series. And I was like, is it messy? I didn't know. So that's another reason why I had to go back and listen. I wanted to know what he had done wrong. But it sounded really, really great. And so I want to encourage you, if you're kind of like us, Kathy and I have a really weird schedule. Sometimes we're here and sometimes we're not. But to be able to go and follow in with a series, we live in such a cool time where you can keep track on teaching and feel like you're still a part. So I'd encourage you to check that out. But over the course of the last few weeks, I know that they have had some cards where some of you guys could be challenged to say, hey, what has God been saying to you in this Dream Again series? If you could dream of something, if you feel like God's saying something, what do you feel like he's saying? And so John gave me a few things that have been on these cards. I don't have any names or anything, so don't panic if you filled one out thinking that I'm about to call you out or something like that. But I just wanted to read this just to kind of give you an idea of some things that people are sensing and feeling outside of just dreaming about what God would want to do with our church as a whole, but what they're doing individually, what he's speaking to you guys as well. So we had this one, first one that I got. Work with teenagers. I will tell you, that is totally a calling from God, okay? I struggled with that. See, Kathy and I, we did youth ministry for almost 20 years before doing what we do now. And I tell you what, it is a calling. It's not necessarily a dream. So whoever put that, that's outstanding. But that also goes with the person who put, I'd like to be a pastor to children or teens. Or the person that put, I want to work with youth, okay? I will Note for you guys, nobody put, "I want to pastor middle school students." They always said teenagers or youth, so that they're kind of hoping that they shoot a little higher, you know. But what a great ministry to be called to. And I can tell you guys, one of the great things in this church, if that's your heart and your passion, man, you have so much ability in this place to reach into the lives of students. And I tell people all the time, and I truly believe this, guys, teenagers and middle school students, high school students, even our 56ers, guys, they're not the church of tomorrow, they're the church, okay? And so we need good, solid people that are feeling called, that are dreaming and feeling like God's going, "I want you to go feed into those students at this time." So if that's you, man, you need to find Shane, and you need to dive into that deep. I love that. I love seeing that. Another one was somebody put they wanted to lead a small group. That's a great calling right there. This one I really love. Help bring clean water to different parts of the world. That's kind of interesting, right? We're having this series about dreaming again, and this casting a vision for missional work and international opportunity comes into that. That's fantastic. Another family put they're dreaming to adopt. We know what that can look like as a process, and so to be praying alongside those in our group that are hoping to be able to adopt. This one just blew me away: ministering to people in hospitals. Now I'll tell you, a number of years ago I was at a church out in West Texas, and it was a really small staff, and one of our responsibilities as a staff, even though I was a youth pastor, was we took turns every week, and we would have to go to the local little hospital in our town and connect with people that were in the hospital. And you can think I'm just an awful person, a terrible Christian, and I'm really okay with it. I just did not enjoy that. Right? There's just something about hospitals that I'm one of those guys that's just like, I just didn't find that. But let me tell you, there was another guy on our staff that just energized him, man. He lived for when it was his week to be the guy to go to the hospital and to go and spend time with the people that were there. And so let me tell you, whoever it is that says, "I want to minister to people in the hospital," that is a beautiful dream, and that is a needed calling and dream as well. And it's not in every single one of us. So that's a great one. Another one was this: to pray for people that are having a hard time in their marriage. And as I read kind of through that, it was born out of this struggle that these people had had with their marriage, and they had seen God's grace and love flow in and heal, and now they wanted to be able to be used by God to heal others as well, right? These are awesome, and there were so many more. There was a lot more and some really great things, but here's the thing is, we've got these really cool dreams, and all of you may have your own thing, right? You go, "I didn't fill out a card, or he didn't read my deal," whatever it is. But all of us in here, I think that God's continually putting things in our minds to go, what could be the next thing that God has in store for us? But now that some of you have voiced these and you're sensing that and feeling that, our question should be, okay, what's next? So that's how we're going to close up this series of Dream Again, is going, okay, what do I do with this? Now, thanks, guys. You caused me to dream, and now we're going to move on to another series. I don't know what to do with that dream that you gave me, right? Well, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 17, and we're going to read something that I think is really key to where we're going to go in looking at what we do with these dreams that God's given us. And one thing that's super important is when we look at this passage that we've had through the whole series, right? Proverbs 29:18. "For lack of vision, the people are unrestrained," right? "But happy is he who is in the law," something along those lines as far as depending on what translation you have. What we tend to focus on in churches is we go, "For where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained." And we miss sometimes that second part. And I think we've done a good job of bringing people to this, but I want to make sure that we see that. "Happy is he who is in the law." Now, we struggle with that sometimes as a church because that word law, right? We just don't like that word very much because we're a people of grace, right? My salvation, my relationship with Jesus Christ is absolutely 100% not based on anything that I did. It's totally based on him. It's by his grace. And so I'm not bound by the law. So when we read a passage like this and says, "Happy is he who keeps the law," that kind of makes some of us feel a little weird. But what he's referring to is the law being the word of God. So, hey, you know what? Without vision, people just kind of do whatever they want. But in order to understand the vision and the dreams that God has given us, we have got to go to his word, and we've got to be grounded in the word of God. Okay? And that's what we saw here with in this passage that I want to read to you. Acts chapter 17, we're going to start in verse 10. And this is about Paul as he's traveling around and he's planting all these little churches and doing all these really great things. And he would go to some places and people would be semi-receptive. They'd want to hear it. And I mean, imagine for a second, if and this may just be kind of my thing, but to be able to sit and hear Paul actually tell the story of what happened to him, that just sounds really crazy cool, right? And so I think about that from my own brain, and I go, how did he go into towns and tell people about the Messiah, Jesus, coming, dying, being born, being resurrected, and then Paul persecuting and actually meeting Jesus on the road and being blinded and having this? How did people not receive that, right? But he had that. And it says that there in the place, he was in Thessalonica, and he actually ended up planting a couple of churches, but he ended up leaving and shaking the dust off of his feet because the people were so resistant to the message that he had. That's when he comes to this place. So let's look at this together. Acts 17, starting in verse 10, says this. That very night, the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea. When they arrived there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. And the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. As a result, many Jews believed, as did many of the prominent Greek men and women. But when some of the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching in the word of God in Berea, they went up there and they stirred up trouble. The believers acted at once, sending Paul onto the coast while Silas and Timothy remained behind. Those escorting Paul went with him all the way to Athens. Then they returned to Berea with instructions for Silas and Timothy to hurry and join him. Okay? So six simple little verses, and it's really the only time that we see or hear about this place called Berea. But it has such an impact. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this. You can actually go look. In fact, on I-45, there used to be a Berean, it's either Berean Bible Church or Berean Baptist Church, right? You can find churches that are named Berean. And so we should go, okay, if they only got six whole verses in all of Scripture, that's pretty significant that they get a name, right? Well, what did they do? Well, here's what happened. Paul comes in. He goes immediately to the Jewish synagogue. And while he is teaching in the synagogue, the people of Berea were going, we like what you're saying. We are hearing this. But here's what we need to do. We're going to go back to the Word of God, and we're going to check prophecy to make sure that what you're telling us actually lines up with what God's Word says for us. Right? And it says that out of that, many people that were Jews came to believe in Jesus, but then also it impacted the Greek men and women that were around them as well. That's pretty outstanding. They weren't just enamored with this story that this guy comes in and tells. They said, that's a really great story, but we want to make sure it lines up with what God's already been saying and showing in Scripture, right? Perfect example, beautiful statement of what we do with what's next. So all of our dreams that we have as declaration, all of the dreams that you guys have, that God has been giving you, what do you do with them? Let me give you a couple of things. First thing is this. We need to take time and let God affirm the dream. Okay? We need to let him speak into this, and you need to refer back to the word, and you need to go back to what God says and go, hey, God, I think this is what I'm hearing you say, but I want to make sure that I'm hearing you clearly. God, I feel like you're telling me to do this, but do you mean do this tomorrow or in 5 or 10 years? Right? We live in this culture right now that as soon as I get a cool idea, I should be able to act on it. Right? Perfect example. You ready? Okay. If you have teenagers, if you're a teenager in this room and you're not driving yet, you need to listen because this is very important for you. And parents, if you already do this, you need to fix this because you're wrong. Okay? See, now I got your interest. You're like, what? He just called me wrong. I don't even know what I'm wrong about. Well, you're fixing to hear. Okay? I had the privilege of teaching all three of my kids to drive in Houston. You see, I couldn't figure out the word privilege, risk. Kathy stayed at home and went, good luck. But one of the first things that I taught my kids, right? If you get in a wreck, when I was growing up, if you get in a wreck, they make you go take a class called defensive driving. I never have understood that because I feel like maybe you should teach that before they start driving, okay? Now that you've been on the offensive and you've scored a touchdown by cramming your car into somebody else, now we're going to teach you about defense. No, it should go the other way around. So I've always taught my kids, hey, there's some things you need to think about. Here's one of them. Ready? This is super important. Teenagers, write this down or put it in your phone. Ready? Just because you turn on your blinker doesn't mean you get to change lanes. Okay? Houston traffic. Just because you've hit that thing, and that does not suddenly give you the right to pull into the lane. In fact, even more so, if you in your mind think, I think I want to change lanes, and you start doing it, and then you're halfway through, and you go, oh, I didn't turn on my blinker, and then do it then, that doesn't make it okay. All right? But there's something about traffic and people driving and kind of this sense of entitlement, and it's just so weird when we're driving along and it can be really thick traffic, and some of you guys have to commute, and so you know what I'm talking about, and suddenly somebody next to you, you see their blinker come on and immediately they're moving in. That's just ridiculous. That makes no sense at all, right? But that's the way we think sometimes when we drive, is everybody else should pause because I have said this is what I want to do. But in actuality, the signal or the blinker or whatever you choose to call it is actually supposed to be turned on, and it's to let everybody know, hey, listen, everybody, I have the intention of moving over there when it makes sense and when it's safe. Okay? That's not what we teach. And sometimes that flows into our lives as well. So some of you have been in this series and you've had these dreams and you're going, man, I see God wanting me to do. I've got my blinker on, I'm going. Right? Lord, you've called me to do this thing. I want to start tomorrow. What do I need? I'm going to go ahead and quit my job in the morning. So, right? Those kind of things. That's not what God is calling us to do. Now, are there things that sometimes happen really quick? And if you start following God's will and all of a sudden he'll move it and get it going? Absolutely. But what we've got to do is be willing to pause and go, Lord, I want to hear you clearly, and I want to make sure that when I move, it's because you moved me, not because I just thought it was cool and wanted to go. Right? I hope that the people aren't here, and I hope nobody knows the people I'm going to talk about. But about 2 weeks ago, there was a story in the news of a couple in Colorado that decided they had had enough of the rat race. And so they bought a boat. And they went to Florida, and they decided they were going to sail around the world. Okay? This is a true story, real deal. So they didn't take lessons, because I want to go back again. They lived in Colorado, all right? And they bought a sailboat and went to Florida. And I guess they just watched a bunch of YouTube videos on how to sail a boat and hoped that that would kind of take care of it. And they bought a bunch of supplies, and they fixed this boat that they bought, and they took off. Morning of day two, they struck something off the coast of Florida, the boat sank, and they lost absolutely everything. Okay? Really sad story. They're safe, so now we can talk about the other part of it. Here's the thing. This is what you don't read until you get further in the story. The husband had just turned 26, and the wife was 24. And now I'm old enough that I get to talk about things like this. And so you just go, he's just getting up there. Okay. But I'm thinking, what kind of rat race had you gotten yourself into at 25 that you felt like it's time to sell it all and move on? Okay. I mean, I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't judge, but John will be back next week and you guys can say, don't have him do that ever again. But I read the story and I just kind of went, what? Well, then you read even further, and when they sold everything they had, it equaled $10,000. They spent $5,000 on a boat, and then they repaired it and bought supplies. And I've done some sailing. I'm not like one of those guys that is really into it, but I've done it enough that I know, guys, $5,000 is not much for a boat. A boat on Lake Conroe, much less. But to take one around the world, I went, wow, you really kind of shot low, right? But this story, while I feel for them and everything worked out and their family got them back to Colorado and they're on the recovery side of going, okay, maybe we should. That's such a statement of what can sometimes happen with us where we go, you know, and I just feel like God's calling me to something and I just think I just need to go, right? And sometimes, you know what we call that in the church? Step of faith, right? And if you throw that out there and go, well, we're just taking a step of faith, every other Christian in the world is like, dang it, I can't say anything because they called it a step of faith. Let me tell you what, there's a difference between a step of faith and a step of something else, right? A step of faith is when you have affirmed a dream and you have said, I know that God is calling me to this, and you've listened intently, and he says, okay, your next step in this passage is I need you to do this. And you have to decide in that moment, am I really going to take that step that he's telling me, or am I going to stay with it? That's a step of faith. Step of faith is not coming up with an idea and then going, all right, I guess we're just moving. Let's go, right? That feeds into this mentality that sometimes we have where we go, you know what, Lord, if you'll just show me the plan, I'll follow it, and you can go mess with all the other people that need your help because I've got it, okay? But what we've got to do is we've got to pause and we've got to say, hey, listen, God, I want you to affirm in me what you want me to do. There's a really great story in Judges about a guy named Gideon. And if you've never read the book of Judges, go read it. It's awesome. And it has all these really cool stories because it's about the ups and downs of the Israelites before they had a king. And so God would come, he would save them through a judge, and then they would rebel against God and they'd get themselves in trouble. And so he'd bring another judge, and all these different judges that he brings, they have just these crazy cool stories. It's probably not a little kid Bible study thing. You know, there's a lady that sticks a tent peg through a guy and stuff. I mean, stuff like that. But most of the stories are really crazy awesome. Well, Gideon is one of these stories. Gideon was a farmer, and God comes to him and says, hey, I need you to be a judge. And so I'm going to send you out to defeat this people that have been oppressing us. So I'm going to have you get a bunch of guys and you're going to go wage war. And Gideon's like, Lord, I love you and I want to follow you, but I'm going to need some clarification on this because I'm a farmer, right? And so he says, Lord, I'm not testing you. I'm not doubting you, but here's what I'm going to ask of you. I'm going to take some fleece. And so he gets some fleece and he gets this lamb's wool. And he says, I'm going to put it outside tonight. And when I get up in the morning, Lord, what I'd like, if you don't mind, if I know that I'm hearing you clearly, I want you to put all around the wool, I want the ground to be totally wet, but I want the fleece to be completely dry. Okay? So God approves this. He goes to bed. He gets up the next morning. He goes outside. The ground is soaking wet all around, but he picks up the fleece and it's totally dry. Right? He says, okay, Lord, looks like we're on the right track. But could I ask one more thing? I want to sleep on it one more night. This time, can we do the opposite? So I want to get up tomorrow and I want to look at the ground and have it be totally dry, but the fleece be completely wet. And so God, in his gracious nature, he says, sure, let's do that. And so Gideon gets up the next morning. He goes outside. The fleece is there. The ground all around the fleece is completely dry. And it says that he wrung out a bowl full of water out of what he was able to get out of the fleece, right? So he walked into this and said, God, I want to make sure that what you tell me is real and true before I take this next step. Well, I had read this about 25 years ago, something like this, with Kathy and I were in the midst of kind of trying to make some decisions about some things that we felt like God was moving us in a direction. And we were going, okay, I'm not sure. And so I got up one morning. I was teaching school at this time, and it was actually the day of Christmas, that Christmas break was going to begin. So it's when all your kids didn't have to go to school, but all the teachers still have to go, right? And so we were going to have a Christmas party, we were going to eat food, and then we were going to go home, and it was Christmas break. So I read this story, right? And I'm like, okay, Lord, we feel like you're calling us in this direction, so can I do a Gideon thing? And I said, we were going to do Secret Santa, right? Everybody know what Secret Santa is? So I knew I was going to get a present. And I said, if you want us to move forward, have the present that I'm going to get wrapped in green paper, okay? Green means go. Back to driving, students, remember that. Green means go, okay? And I said, but if I'm on the wrong track and I'm not hearing you clearly, have the gift that I'm going to get, have it wrapped in red paper, right? Because I'm really thinking about the Lord, and I want to make this as easy for him as possible, right? Because that's just the kind of person that I am. So Lord, green means go, red means stop. And so I get done with my time, and I'm praying, and I'm like, this is cool. And I'm not even thinking, what if I get a present wrapped in white, you're right? I know he's going to give me one of those two. So I go in my room, and I get in there and I start getting clothes out and I'm getting ready to get dressed. And I grab a pair of jeans out of the bottom drawer of my dresser. And as I'm putting my leg in, there's something in my pants leg, right? And so I just push it all the way through with my foot, and laying on the ground is a little green present with a little green bow sitting on top, right? And so I start freaking out because I'm like, okay, is there manna inside it? Did God manifest this green present in my jeans? You know what? I never had heard of that, but okay, do something new, Lord, right? So I get this little green present and I open it up, and there is a little piece of paper in there, and it has like a Christmas tree drawn on it, and it says, Merry Christmas, Daddy. I love you, Glendy Bell, my daughter. And what had happened is a few days earlier, she was probably about 4 years old, they had decided to make their own little presents with what Kathy was doing with all of our kids, and she wanted to hide her present for me. And so a few days before that, she had put it in this nice little green box, and she put the little bow on it, and she went into my dresser, and she just crammed it in one of my pants legs, right? Well, I realized this, and I'm going, not only did God not, was he not offended by the fact that I was saying, could you show me something? He was actually saying in that moment, I knew you were going to ask this a couple of days ago. I got this covered. We're not going to wait for you to go to school and find some message. I already got your message waiting for you right here. So I say that to you guys to say this. If you have a dream that you feel like God's calling you to and you want to affirm it, let me let you know, he will affirm it. You will know clearly. You may not get a cool little, because Glendy's like 22, she doesn't give presents anymore. But I mean, you may find some other way that God answers that. But I'm telling you, he will make clear his direction and his goal for your dreams. It'll happen, right? So first thing, we're going to make sure that God affirms the dream that we have. Second is this. We need to be ready to know that battles are going to come when the truth is finally revealed, right? So Paul goes into Berea, and he starts sharing, and all these people are going, you know what, we've checked God's word, and this is a real thing. And so they receive what Christ has to offer, and it impacts them, and it impacts the Greeks around them. And immediately after that, what happens? This group of Jews that had been following him kind of a couple of days out from all of his journeys came into town and started stirring things up. And they stirred things up enough that the people of this new church had to take him and get him out of the city so that he could get away. Now, if I'm one of the people in Berea, I'm going, okay, this guy came in and he spoke this truth. We've affirmed it in God's word. Well, now he's suddenly kicked out of town. Maybe what he's saying isn't real. And because they were Jews in the synagogue, and it's a group of Jews that are saying, hey, we want him out, I can't help but think some of them could have been challenged and going, wait a second, that's our people. But here's the thing, guys. If you're intent and focused on following God's dream for you, if you really want to know what God wants to do with you and what he has next, then he's going to show you what that thing is, but the enemy is not going to like it. Because one thing can be guaranteed, what God wants to do with you may not be about you, but it will completely be about his kingdom. And if anybody follows him and says, I will do what you want, it's going to benefit the kingdom, which means that the enemy's going to come along and go, I don't want somebody following the kingdom, right? There is nothing that Satan loves better than a whole bunch of people that come to church on Sunday morning and sing some really great songs and hear a message and walk out and go, boy, that was really kind of good. And then they leave and life is exactly the same this week as it was last week. That's joy for Satan. If he's already lost us as a people because we've given our lives to Christ, the next best thing he can get is for us just to not do anything, right? And so when people start to rise up and go, God, show me what you have for me, show me my dream, and then I'm ready to take a step into that, he is going to rise up, and there's going to be struggles. There's going to be a battle that comes because you're doing something that doesn't fit with this world. Crazy enough, guys, it could come from any direction. It could come from family. It could come from friends. It could come from spouses. It could come from kids. It's when you have been affirmed in the dream, when those battles come, what you have to do is rest in the truth of God's word and what he has shown you to keep moving forward and trust what he's going to do, right? Third thing, this is the worst. After that, so you've affirmed it, you go, okay, I'm ready if there's a struggle, but then here's what I got to do. Wait, right? Which everybody loves that. That's the best thing ever, right? Waiting, okay? That's why, this is my personal theory. That's why apps for food places are so popular right now. Because if I can order in advance on my phone and I show up and all of you guys are standing in line, there's a joy in me that I get to walk in front of you, pick up my stuff and walk out, right? You know why? Because I don't like to wait. Nobody likes to wait. And what happens is, especially in a situation like this, where if you are a follower of Christ and you feel like God has clearly given you something to do and a dream and a goal, every one of us in here is going, when can I start? But sometimes God goes, you know what? I kind of enjoy the journey. In fact, all the time God says, I enjoy the journey. It's the reason that he doesn't expose too much of his plan at any one time. I have yet to meet anybody that's like, that gets down the road in their walk with Christ that they're like, you know, I've known what his plan was this whole time, but I just took it easy and walked with him. We just don't do that. And so God knows our heart. He knows our nature. And so he shows us a little bit at a time. And that means that sometimes, guys, God's going to reveal something to you, and then you suddenly got to wait. A couple of weeks ago, John was talking about a passage in Genesis with Abraham and Sarah, right? And if you were here, I love this story because it just, I don't know why. I would never think of this with my wife ever, but he did. And they're going into this land. So God has called Abraham and said, go, right? Well, he's going into this land of these enemies or some people that are not God followers. And before they get there, Abraham looks at his wife and says, listen, Sarah, I got an idea. You're so hot that the king is probably going to want you. And if he finds out I'm your husband, then he'll probably kill me. So I've come up with an awesome idea. Tell him you're my sister, okay? Number one, Kathy would never go for that. She'd be like, "What? That's the weirdest thing in the world for you to want." But for some reason, Sarah says, okay, let's give it a shot. Well, so they go, and sure enough, the people go, wow, she's really gorgeous. And the king says, I think I need her. So he takes her, and Abraham goes off as her brother. And all of a sudden, all these terrible things start happening to the kingdom because God is cursing them. He's landing on them. And the king finds out, hey, that's his wife. That's not his sister. So he comes and says, why'd you do this to me? I wouldn't have done anything to you, right? But Abraham was so afraid of moving into this place and just waiting to see what would happen that he says, I think I've got a way to figure this out. And so they end up getting sent out. Now, we can read that story and hear that, but here's what's awesome and hilarious. If you go about three chapters over, he does it again, right? You think I'm kidding. Go look in Genesis and read the story, and you're thinking, surely I would learn if last time I said, hey, pretend you're my sister, and things didn't work out so great, that maybe we shouldn't do that again. But they go to the next town, the next area, and he goes, I got a feeling that this is going to work this time, okay? But it's all out of this desire to not have to wait and just, I think I can figure things out on my own, right? If we go to John chapter 18, chapter 19, when Jesus has come back from the dead and all the disciples have seen him, but they don't know where he is now. And Peter is still feeling pretty, he's struggling, right? Because he's rejected Jesus and he's fighting all this. And all of a sudden he says, let's go fishing, right? That's not a simple statement of some of us in this room that would go, you know what? I don't have anything to do today. Let's go fish. That's not what he's talking about. Fishing is what he did before he knew Jesus. And he went, I'm tired of waiting. I blew it. I'm going to go back and do what I used to do. Right? It's a statement of what we tend to do when we don't feel like God's moving fast enough for us. And when we're told, hey, hang in there. Let's wait. And so we just, it's just in our nature to go, I'll just figure out my way on my own. Guys, that's not an issue for us. That's an issue for all people for all time. It goes all the way back to Scripture, and it's going to hit you as well. And so when you have that dream affirmed and you're going, man, I know this is what God wants me to do, and then he says, wait, that can be really difficult. But what you have to be intentional about is going back to the Word and spending time with him and letting him show you clearly what steps you need to take and when you need to take them. All right? So what do we do with that? All right, so we've got this, you're going to affirm your dream, you're going to make sure that you're ready for any battles that may come, and then you're just going to be able to go, God, you know what, I'll wait on you. Well, that's really, really tough. So what can we do in the waiting time? Let me give you four quick things that I think we need to do individually and that we need to do as a church as we exit through this series of dreaming again. First one is this. Guys, we got to commit, and we got to commit to the Word. We have got to be intentional about going to God's Word every single day as much as possible and going, Lord, I feel like you've told me to do this thing and I'm waiting and I don't understand. So continue to show me examples of people in Scripture that have gone through similar things. Make it clear to me what you're calling me to do. And we're only going to find that by seeking him out in his word. Second is this, pray. You got to continue to pray for clarity. And anybody ever prayed so much about the same thing that you think in your mind, surely God's getting tired of hearing this, right? Okay, so it's just me? All right, that's fine. I feel like, okay, Lord, you know everything anyway. So why should I have to keep bringing it up, right? Well, let me tell you what, God loves to hear us. And again, like I said, it's about the journey and the relationship. And so he wants to hear from you. And it's through those prayers in that time that he can affirm that, right? Our oldest son, Chisholm, played baseball when he was little. And when we would get in the car, he's 5, 6 years old, we'd get in the car. I don't think I ever missed a baseball game of his when he was little. And I'd be there and we'd get in the car. And that kid would tell me on the way home every single thing that happened in the baseball game, right? And I sometimes as a dad, even though I wanted to say to him, I was there, son. I saw, you know, yes, I remember that because I was, right? But I never did that to him because I kind of loved seeing his excitement and I just listened because I wanted to hear. Do you ever think that maybe since God's a father, maybe it's the same? We're not wearing him out. God, yes, he absolutely knows, but maybe he loves hearing us. And maybe he loves that time with us where we're continuing to come to him and saying, God, I have this dream and I'm so excited about what you might do in this. And when do you think it might happen? And when are we going to be able to go? What are we going to do? I don't think God gets tired of that. And so we've got to be serious about committing to the word, but we've got to be serious about praying and continually bringing it before him. Third is this, engage. Engage with other people. Specifically within our church, we got some cool things we're talking about for the future of our church. Some of you got some really great things that you think God's leading you to do that may be involved in the church, maybe outside the church. You need people around you that can come alongside and say, man, I'm gonna pray for you and I'm gonna pray with you for whatever that is. And for our church body, guys, you're not supposed to do that alone. And so God's saying, hey, take this dream that you have and now share it with the people that are around you and engage with them so that everybody can benefit from what's about to happen. And the last one is this, share even further. I'm convinced of something. We really don't have to be salespeople for Declaration Church. And I really don't think we have to be salespeople for Jesus either. I mean, if we want to be really honest, guys, I think if we just go tell people some of the cool things that we've seen God do, I think that's enough. And so what we've got to do is go, hey, we went through this really cool series and God showed me this. And man, I'm thinking that God's calling me to do this thing and I'm just super excited about it. And you know what? The Holy Spirit's going to work through you and into somebody else just out of the fact that you're sharing and there's some excitement that you never know what God might do with that. And so you've got these dreams. You're ready to see what's ahead. So now you got to commit to the word. Pray regularly. Engage with everyone that's in here. And then guys, be willing to go share what God's doing because there's some great days ahead for us and for this church body. And now you may be thinking, okay, I get this, but I really haven't had that time. So what I want to do is at the end of this, we're about to take communion and kind of have our closing time here. But I want to encourage some of you. In fact, I want to encourage all of you, but those that would receive this. Maybe right now this morning is when you need to take some time and go, Lord, I feel like you've been telling me this over the last few weeks, but I just want to sit where I am and I just want to pause and I want to start praying now, asking you to affirm the dream that I feel like you're giving me. And so we're going to have our communion guys come up in a minute. Band, if you want to go ahead and head up here, we're going to have some worship as well. And so I'd encourage you to do one of two things. Come up and take communion. And then go back to our prayer station in the back and you can have somebody pray with you. You can go back to your seat. You can go somewhere just by yourself if you want to. But commit some time right now just to say, Lord, maybe it's a couple of things. Maybe for some of you, it's like, Lord, I really don't know what the dream is. Can you start showing me what that would be? But for those of you that feel like God's calling you, maybe it's just to say, God, I want to know for sure that this is what you have. And so come take communion, then go take that time or take some time. And then go, Lord, as I'm praying and I'm asking you to affirm this, at the end of it, I want to come up and I want to receive and be reminded of the gift of your son, who is the one who makes all dreams possible, right? And so when you come and take communion, I want to remind you, and we say this every single week, But the significant thing about taking communion is that all of our minds should go to the same place. And we should be reminded that Jesus is the Son of God and that he came and lived a life on this earth, and yet he was completely whole. And we were the ones that were broken. But he made the choice to come here and be completely broken so that we would be the ones that could be made whole. And so that's what that bread represents. And as he was broken, he chose and offered to allow his blood to be spilled, knowing that it was only through the sacrifice of his blood that our sins could be forgiven and that we would be able to have a relationship with God the Father. You realize that the relationship that's offered to us through Jesus Christ is not just about whether you get into heaven someday, but it's about a full and abundant life starting now. And so when you come and take communion, as you take the cup and as you take the bread, let that be a reminder of what God has done, what promises are ahead, but what the promises also mean right now, which includes the dreams that he's given each one of us this morning. Right? Let me pray for us. Lord God, I just thank you and praise you so much for your word and for your truth. God, may we be Berean, Lord. May we seek you and pursue you and truly want to understand and know what you're saying to us. God, I pray for every dream that is in this room, every vision, every bit of excitement or uncertainty, God, that you would affirm it, you would make it clear, that you would prepare all of us to be ready for whatever struggles might come through these dreams, but that we would also be willing to wait and move exactly when it's your time to go. God, we just pray that you would bless our church and all the churches around us, and that you would move us in your direction so that it does one thing: glorify your name and grow your kingdom. Lord, we give you this time. We praise you and we love you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. I invite you guys to come.
Thanks for listening to the Declaration Church podcast. We pray many blessings over you and your journey as you declare him to the nations. For more podcasts and teachings, visit declaration.org/podcast.